I just got to say, I was one of those kids who could not control himself when church was over. So I'm just saying, I can relate to them. Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 35 is going to be the starting point for our time this morning to look at the seven I am statements of Jesus. We're just going to look at them briefly. And for each of them, and to Pastor Dan's chagrin, this is a 21-point sermon, because for each of the seven sayings, we're going to ask, what is the context? What does the saying mean? And how do we apply it to life? So 7 times 3, last I looked, 21. Well, it's really just going to be 7. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. We're just going to look at each briefly. And I would say the main reason, the main motive for doing this is that your joy would be full. If you really understand what is behind these seven I am statements, then if you're a Christian, you should rejoice greatly for the rest of your life. And if you're not a Christian, I hope that you will be jealous. I hope that if you're not a Christian, I hope that you'll hear this and go, man, I wish I had what believers have, because we want you to come to Christ today. We want today to be the day of salvation for you, because we want you to have what we have in Jesus Christ. So pay close attention. You'll see what I mean. Seven I am statements of Jesus found in the Gospel of John. The first is in John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, what's the context here? The context here is the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus Christ had just performed an incredible sign, a miracle, a wonder. He took 2 small fish and 5 small barley loaves. He prayed to God in heaven, and he fed 5,000 men plus women and children with leftovers afterwards, just like a great Thanksgiving meal. That's the context. And in that context, Jesus said to people who still didn't believe in him, despite all that God had done that they might believe, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. What does that mean? What that means is you need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ to live. You cannot live on bread alone. That will last a little while, but the day is coming, and maybe soon, when you are going to die. You need Christ to live beyond this life. And really, you need Christ even to live out this life. So what's the application? In a single word, what is the application? What should you do with bread? Eat. That's the application. Eat or feed on Jesus Christ. Now, that is a metaphor used later in chapter 6 to believe in Jesus Christ. Notice what Jesus says here in verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus Christ by faith. How do you do that? You pray and you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Save me. Help me to follow you. Help me to know you. Help me to understand you. Then Jesus says, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your soul has been satisfied. You are not going looking for something else. No true believer in Jesus Christ goes looking for something better, because there is nothing better than Christ. He is the bread of life. He is what we need to live. And the application, eat, feed. Jesus says later in verse 58, this is the bread, speaking of himself, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. That is, feed on Jesus Christ. Take in what he says and believe it with all your heart, and you will be satisfied. The second saying comes shortly thereafter in John chapter 8, verse 12. Turn over there. John 8, verse 12. Jesus is not only the bread of life, he is the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What's the context here? Well, again, Jesus is speaking to Jews who don't believe in him. But in this case, it's the scribes and the Pharisees who had just brought to Jesus a woman caught in adultery. Remember that? They bring this woman to him. I'm not sure exactly what happened. This says she's caught in adultery. They remind Jesus that according to the law of Moses, she should be stoned, and then they say, "What do you say?" Of course, it's a trap. It's a trap. They are trying to find some way to accuse Christ. Man, what an evil world we live in. What a dark world we live in. You could even have religious people who are so hypocritical that they try to catch you in what you say in order to find an accusation against you. Think that happens today? Oh, yeah, it happens. Listen, bottom line, we live in a world filled with darkness, and darkness is a metaphor for evil, wickedness, and every form of sin. In a world that's dark, you need light. Jesus is the light of the world. That's what he says. Verse 12, I am the light of the world. What does that mean? He is the source of truth. He is the source of righteousness. He is the source of holiness and purity. Everything you need to live in a world filled with darkness. In a world filled with error, you need to know the truth to live. And Jesus is the truth. In a world filled with folly, you need wisdom to live. Jesus is wisdom from God. What's the application? We'll look at John 8:12. It's right there. Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The application is follow Jesus. Follow Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Listen to what Jesus says and follow that. Whatever he says is true, whatever he commands is right, and whatever he promises will surely come to pass. Whatever he says is wrong is wrong. Follow Christ. And listen, if you're a follower of Christ, notice the promise. You will not walk in darkness. You're not going to be taken by the scammers and the deceivers of this world. They will tell you things that are lies, things that are not true. They'll even tell you false gospels. But if you have Christ, you will not be led astray. You are secure in him. If you're not a believer, I'm sorry to tell you, you are in the dark. You are in the dark. You do not know the truth. And if you think you don't need Christ, then you're deceived. You're deceived. Don't leave here that way today. Next saying. Third I am saying is John 10, verse 7. Turn over there. John 10, verse 7. The setting here is quite the same in that Jesus is speaking to unbelieving Pharisees. Notice what he says in verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, to be more specific about the context here, the Pharisees who felt that they were the door, that means they felt that they were the authority over who can be in the synagogue and who cannot be in the synagogue, the Pharisees had just kicked someone out of the synagogue. Who was it? The man born blind. In chapter 9, we have the story of a man born blind, and Jesus comes and he heals him. And then people are wondering how it is that this man can now see. And the man tells them, he tells them that it was Jesus. And they keep asking the blind man how this happened, and he keeps telling them. And then they become frustrated. Look at chapter 9, verse 34. They, these Pharisees, answered and said to the blind man, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Now here you have religious leaders who cast a man out of the assembly because he was telling them the truth about Jesus Christ. Wow. They felt that they were the door. It's not true. Jesus is the door. This is what Jesus says in John 10, 7. And now, drop down to verses 9 and 10 to find out what that means. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's what it means. Jesus is the door to eternal life. Jesus is the way to abundant life. He is the one you have to go through. And only by going through him can you get in. What's the application? Enter. Enter. Enter by Christ. That's what he says. Whoever enters by me. If anyone enters by me, verse 9, he will be saved. The only way you can be saved from death and into life is through Jesus Christ. So first saying, they're all kind of parallel, right? I am the bread of life, meaning what? You need Christ to live. What should you do? Eat, feed, believe. in Jesus Christ. Then his next saying, I am the light of this world. Right? You live in a world of darkness. What should you do? Follow. Follow Christ. Trust him. Believe in him. Third saying, I am the door. I am the only way into life. What should you do? Enter. Enter by Jesus Christ. The next saying, same context, John 10:11. Same context, talking to Pharisees who don't believe, talking to religious leaders who believe that they are the shepherds of Israel. Jesus says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Don't need to go into the context, that's the same. But he's talking to Pharisees who believe that they were the authority and they were the shepherds for God's people. They were merely under-shepherds. And any shepherd who disagrees with Christ is no shepherd worth listening to. Anytime, and I'm not infallible, anytime I ever depart from teaching you the truth of Christ, don't follow me. Follow Christ. Follow what Christ says. He is the chief shepherd. Not only that, notice he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, the amazing truth behind all of this, all of these I am statements, is that there is a God in heaven who wants you to be saved, who wants you to enjoy eternal life, who wants you to enter into the kingdom of heaven, who wants you to be part of his sheepfold, that means part of his family. And everything you need for that to happen is found in Jesus Christ. Christ, of course, did everything that he did for the sheep, but here he says the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A reference to the fact that Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross and paid the price for the sins of everyone who would ever believe. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends, John 15:13. And God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ what? Died for us, Romans 5:8. The incredible teaching of the Bible is that God, in his love for us, sent his Son to pay the price for our sins. And if you want to know where on your timeline Christ died, it was back when you were still a sinner. That's good news. And it means that if that's true, which it is, then for sure we will be saved from the wrath to come. Romans 5:9-11. This is good news. What else does this mean, that Jesus is the good shepherd? Look down at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. That means if Jesus is your shepherd, he knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows you intimately. He is familiar with all your ways, and it means that you listen to his voice. This is how you can tell if somebody's a true Christian. Do they listen to what Christ says in his word? Those who do not are not Christ's. Drop down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That means if Jesus is your shepherd, you follow him by faith. And you have eternal life, which can never be taken away. Verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Listen, beloved, this is the gospel. This is the good news of the entire Bible. That the God of heaven desires to save sinners, and to save sinners, he sent his Son into this world to be the Savior for sinners. And to save sinners, Christ lived a sinless life, and then willingly gave up his life on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of eternal life that can never be taken away. If you're not a believer, you should be jealous. If you're not, you're blind and deaf, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and in the dark. And you should not want to stay there. You should want to flee out of that condition and say, I want life. I need Christ. I want heaven. I want confidence. Application, if the Lord is your shepherd, rejoice. Take great comfort. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not blank. What? Want or lack, Psalm 23. The young lions do suffer and hunger, Psalm 34, I think, says. But those who trust in the Lord will lack for no good thing. This is good news. So if he's your shepherd, keep following. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And then what? We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. End of Psalm 23. If you don't have Christ, you don't have a shepherd. You're on your own. The Bible uses terms like lost, astray, headed for destruction, on the broad road. You don't want to be on that. Fifth saying. See, we're almost done. Fifth saying. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I love all these sayings, but this is probably my favorite. John 11, 25 and 26. Take a look. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What's the context here? Jesus had a beloved friend named Lazarus, and Lazarus had just died. And Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, were grieving over the death of their brother. When they heard that Jesus was coming, Martha, you recall, went out to meet him and said in verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said, your brother will rise again, in verse 23. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? What that means is that everything that has to do with the resurrection and life after death is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Who rises to life and who rises to death is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Who goes to heaven and who goes to hell is in the hands of Jesus Christ. All judgment has been committed to Jesus Christ. You know what? If you're Christ, you have nothing to fear. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have already passed out of death and into life. You will never come into judgment. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I think Olivia said it earlier. What are you thankful for? Forgiveness of sins. All of your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven forever and ever. That's like too good to be true, but it is true. I even looked it up one time. Like, is it really all sins? Colossians says that all of our sins were taken out of the way because they were nailed to the cross. A picture of the fact that Jesus had all of our sins laid on him at the cross, and they're nailed there. Our sins are taken away as far as us, as the east is from the west. If you're not in Christ, all your sins are on you. You carry that giant burden of your sins with you everywhere you go. And if you don't repent, you will die in your sins. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That means unless you believe that Jesus Christ is eternal God in the flesh. Application, we'll look at the end of verse 26. Do you believe this? Do you believe? That is a great question. Do you believe this? He just puts her on the spot. And so I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you believe this? Do you believe what you're hearing? It's true. And I will tell you this. If you don't believe it, you have no basis for your unbelief. None. There's no basis for your unbelief. You have not searched the world over to try and find out whether or not Christ is real. You can't know. You're in that realm of lost. And you might think, well, no one can truly know for sure. This is part of the good news. God, we who believe in Jesus Christ, God has opened our blind eyes, softened our hard hearts, and made tender our stiff necks. He's opened our minds and our hearts to receive the good news of the gospel, and it's all a work of God. You say, well, what is your part? Your part is to humble yourself and call upon the Lord. That's it. Humble yourself. Don't be arrogant. Don't be prideful. Say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said of that man in Luke 18, that man went back home justified. That's the way God wants you to go home today. Justified, declared forever righteous by the God of heaven. Sixth saying, John 14, verse 6. Turn over to John 14, verse 6. Different setting here, different context. This is Jesus with his beloved disciples. He's at the end of his life. He's about to go to the cross. This is the upper room discourse. And Jesus says these familiar words in 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, Jesus said that with confidence. Look who speaks next. Verse 5. doubting Thomas, said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, sixth I am statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, I've given you the context. What does that mean? It means what it says. Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the only way to God the Father. Jesus is the truth. He is the source of all truth and the source of the truth you need to know in order to get to the Father. And he is the life. He is the source of eternal life with God the Father. And there is no other way. All roads do not lead to heaven. All religions do not lead to heaven. There is salvation in no other, for there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Amen. What's the application? Follow Christ. Believe in Christ. Trust in Christ. Listen to Christ. It's all the things we've already heard. If you have Christ, you know the way. You know where he's gone. You know what he's doing. He's preparing a place for you. And we have this great confidence in Christ that we shall see the glory of God, right? This is what it says in Romans 5. Again, when Paul is listing out all the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, he says, and we rejoice, we even boast in the hope of the glory of God. That means we rejoice because we know that one day we are going to enter into the glory of God and see everything that makes our God worthy of worship. Today we see as in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Final saying, John 15, verse 1. And this is, it's hard to pick a favorite, right? This is one for those of us who realize that life is a real struggle. Ministry is a real struggle. Jesus says in John 15, 1, here's the seventh I am statement, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Context here, same as before. Jesus, on his night before he was crucified, meeting with his disciples, encouraging them, knowing that they are going to struggle in this life. And the question is, how in the world are we going to make it? How are we going to get through? How are we going to endure every trial, every temptation, every test? And Jesus simply says, "Abide in me." Verse 4. "Abide in me and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine," verse 5, he repeats it. "You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." What's the application? Abide in Christ. Don't leave. You know, I wish that everyone here on Sunday during worship, I wish everyone was here during Sunday school. That's why I've tasked the kids to ask you to bring them to Sunday school. In adult Sunday school, Brother Bruce and Brother Vic and I and all of us together are walking through the book of Hebrews, which is God pleading with you to never walk away from Jesus Christ, to never leave Christ. This is God's effort to save you all the way, right? I mean, what a great God we have who doesn't want any single one of you to walk away. Jesus is doing the same thing here. He doesn't want any of his disciples to walk away, and so he says, "I am the vine, you're the branches, you need to abide in me." How do you do that? He says, "Let my words abide in you. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly," Colossians 3:16 puts it. And with all of these statements, Jesus Christ is mainly teaching one thing. One thing. Jesus is everything you need. If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything you need for life and godliness, everything you need for eternal life, everything you need to enjoy this life and to make it through every test and trial. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You have nothing. And so my encouragement to you today, if you're a believer, rejoice in Jesus Christ. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not a believer, at least leave jealous. At least leave knowing you don't have what we have. We have a great shepherd. We have the light of the world. We have the bread of life. We have the door and the way and the truth and the life and the resurrection. And we have a vine who holds us and makes our lives fruitful. And you don't have that. Leave with that burning in your mind, because I hope it will cause you to repent and come to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for Jesus Christ. And thank you for these great sayings that remind us again what a great Savior we have. Father, help us in our times of trial, in our times of testing, in our times of suffering and loss and weakness. Help us, Father, to cling to your Son, Jesus Christ, and to never walk away from him, knowing that in him we have all we need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.